We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Two of the hot button draft topics in fantasy baseball Twitterverse were Ellie De La Cruz and CJ Abrams. Both are still, you know, we still don't have a verdict on them, but early starts indicate that we're not optimistic enough about both. We'll talk about that and a whole lot more coming up on the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast. I'm Jeff Erickson here with CJ Kaltenbach, a.k.a. The Siege. That's S-E-I-G-E on Twitter, The Siege. Siege, welcome. How you doing, man?
I'm good. How are you, Jeff?
Good. Well, I figured, you know, I've seen a lot of buzz on CJ Abrams and, you know, whether we're right or wrong about him. And I wanted to, who better to know about CJ Abrams than another CJ, CJ Kaltenbach, who you drafted him. You told me the night before you were going to draft him at the 2-3 turn that you thought he was being vastly undervalued. So far, you're right. Five homers already for Abrams, hitting for high average. Going into, you know, they're off today, so it works out pretty well. His average, 295. He's got five homers, 11 ribs, three stolen bases, 10 runs. The stolen bases are actually feel light compared to what I expect from him and what we're seeing from the Nationals. But all in all, you got to be happy with your investment in CJ Abrams.
He's just been hitting for more power. The hard contact's been up, so it's tough to steal bases when you're hitting more doubles and home runs. So.
Right?
Yeah, that's been probably the only downside of this improved hitter. But yeah, it's probably not going to be this good all year with the batting average. But certainly it's kind of exactly what you were hoping to see if you drafted him.
Yeah, you and I were powwowing at Mike the Mouse party the night before, knowing that we both were in separate leagues, but we both had the first pick. We're both planning to go Acuna. And looking at the pitching, looking at the hitting, we're like, I'm going to go hitter probably here. And then I think you were going to go closer, and I went one closer and another hitter. But we both kind of mapped that out. We were kind of thinking along the same vein. You went with different players than I did, though. And so far, at least in the case of CJ Abrams, you got to feel pretty good. Going forward, what can we expect? I mean, the thing about Abrams is, for me, it wasn't that I was like outright fading him. I was more like, I don't know. And when I don't know, I don't draft him. But not drafting him is the same as fading him, really, when you're talking about it. I wasn't telling, like, say, stay away or anything like that.
Yeah, it's kind of like me and Mike Trout a little bit, too, where it's mm-hmm. just, like, didn't really get him, but I wasn't really opposed, per se. Yeah. It was like I had a price if he fell to, okay, but otherwise, like, I was never going to reach for him.
Right.
And so it's not like CJ Abrams where I was super confident, but I mean, I think the power's for real. I just think the approach is better. And we haven't even gotten to the hot summers in DC yet or Atlanta. Right. So I'm pretty optimistic. 20 home runs and 40 steals?
Yeah.
45 steals? I think 20 home runs, I would feel pretty confident penciling that in at this point.
Yeah, I think that's possible. I mean, last year, I mean, let's face it. I mean, he got the homers last year when, you know, the batting, the StatCast metrics weren't great, but he was age 22 also. Went 18 and 47 last year, so 20-40 doesn't seem out of reach at all. No, I think that's fine. Average is the thing that I'm kind of catching my eye in. If he hits 270, I mean, that's a huge win for you at the 2-3 turn, and next year he's a first-round player.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny that we're gonna talk about a different player later on. And I was, as I was doing my research, I was like, I should have been in on this player for the exact same reasons I was in on CJ Abrams, mm-hmm. and I wasn't. So definitely some process improvements need to be made for next year.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, we can always improve, right? I mean, that's we spend all offseason talking it out, and then we get real results, and like, oh wait, these aren't fixed values here. They're players. They're humans. They evaluate themselves and they try to improve, and they decline too, and they get older, and all that. So, and there's a whole lot of different ways that they're not cards. They don't have static value.
Yeah, and sometimes we forget that. We're like, especially when it comes to safety, we're like, oh, this guy's safe, and it's like, oh. Well, all it takes is one injury, and next thing right. You know, it's three injuries. And so you got to be a little more transparent and more careful with that than sometimes I give myself credit for.
Yeah. Congrats on happy first homer day to Ronald Acuna for those of us that celebrate yesterday. It was nice to see that finally, especially when you see like Bobby Witt doing something crazy every single day. You're like, ah, come on, Acuna. But he's got eight bags. We're not dying here. But it's nice to see the hard contact finally.
We'll be fine. Ronald Acuna is going to be just fine. If my team fails because I took Ronald Acuna 1.1, then so be it. You can't worry about that. I got enough problems on the main event team as it is.
Yeah. And that's just the thing. I mean, I think, yeah. And you know, the knee was a concern. I mean, it was enough to make me at least contemplate Spencer Strider. I wasn't contemplating a different hitter. Maybe that was, although it's funny, earlier in draft season, I took Julio too at one, I think in one league. And, I took Julio at 1.2. Now I would have taken Witt. I would have felt a lot better than Julio, but either way, I think Julio's going to be fine. He had a similar bad start last year too. I'm not too concerned yet, but nonetheless, it's funny. Like by the time we got to main event season, which is his own animal, but it was either Strider or Acuna, except for my league where Witt went second.
I mean, I KDS 1.02. Hope you know if I had gotten Strider. So just you know, sometimes you just get a little bit of luck there too. Because
otherwise,
that would have been a disaster.
I have five other leagues. I have five leagues with Strider, so I didn't totally avoid that landmine. But 5 out of 14.
Yeah, I he was only in cut lines for me, and it was always when he was at a great value. So it's just really frustrating. It's like, oh come on.
Yep, exactly. Well, not much else to say about the Braves, except they lost Ozzie Albies. They lost Sean Murphy on opening day, and yet they're still in first place. But I guess Albies, it's a month. It's a pretty significant injury there with the great toe, not big toe, but great toe. Are you interested in either of his replacements?
Not particularly, because they traded the best one away to Boston in the offseason. This would be a perfect spot for Vaughn Grisham to actually get some run, but he's now in Boston. So I just think the Braves are going to hang on here for a month. I don't think we're going to see an aggressive prospect call up like we've seen in the past with Michael Harris or even Ronald Acuna when they called him up. So I think it's going to just kind of ride it out. They know they're going to win the division anyways. So I think they're just going to play it pretty safe and conservative. So I don't see myself being interested in replacements.
So I was looking we were talking about CJ Abrams. I wasn't really looking at, I ended up taking Francisco Lindor, but I was looking either Gunnar Henderson. I wasn't even looking at Abrams. Now I'll definitely, I feel the error of my ways, although Henderson would have been just fine too, but I took Lindor and Francisco Lindor. We all know what he's doing. It's not much. It's really frustrating so far. I still feel like it's uber early. I know we always tell people it's time to be patient. Sometimes teams aren't always patient. What's your take on Francisco Lindor and his struggles so far?
So I was the low man on Lindor to begin with. So you're probably asking the wrong person. Like
maybe the right person.
I had him as a 3-4 turn type of player.
Okay.
I had him behind the Seager, Alonso, Bichette, Henderson, Machado group. I just never knew what he did like that was going to win me anything. Like he's solid. He was always solid, right? Mm-hmm. But like when those type of players go, the drop off is significant. You know, like this is where you used to take like George Springer, right? And then he kind of got old, started breaking down, and then he fell like 5 or 6 rounds. I just felt like there's always a lot of downside with Lindor and not a whole lot of ceiling. Like I think he'll be okay eventually. Like I think he'll get you a 4th or 5th round value, but it's probably not going to, maybe 6th round value, but it's not going to be what you paid for him.
No, it isn't. If you're in a trade league, obviously in the main event, I'm stuck with that. I'm just ride or die at this point in time. And I'm not even thinking about benching him, but at this point, if you are in a trade league, Do you consider taking 90 cents on the dollar?
If you could get 90 cents on the dollar, sure.
But what is 90 cents on the dollar for that matter? I think that's the next question. But
Anthony Volpe?
Oh, that's a very interesting call there, because I love Volpe. I was all over Volpe this year. Just not in the main event, unfortunately. But Anthony Volpe, 324, two homers, 14 runs, six stolen bases. He's now batting leadoff. Do we think Volpe sticks in leadoff?
Yeah, like there's a world in which I think Volpe just outperforms Lindor the rest of the season to begin with. So like, okay. You might be able to get a Volpe owner to think he's selling high, and I don't think you're going to get that much of a downgrade, even if Lindor does like outproduce him the rest of the way.
That would be that would be pretty impressive if we pulled that off. But he right now he's the fifth rated shortstop, counting Mookie Betts, who's just insane in terms of earned auction value so far. At least according to RotoWire's tools, we got Betts, Ellie, Gunner, Witt, and Volpe as the top five. Abrams is right there at six. Bryce Terang is right there also, because he's got what, nine stolen bases. That'll really trigger any sort of value calculator.
Yeah, another post type sleeper that just finally seems to have just figured it out enough that he can actually use his speed.
Yeah, you know, a guy who hasn't been getting the buzz. He did get in spring training, but for his performance currently, I'm just looking at shortstops doing well so far, is Jackson Merrill. Jackson Merrill's hitting .333 in his debut season here. One homer only, but four bags, 12 runs, despite playing at the bottom of the order more often than not. I mean, what a nice debut so far.
Everybody saw him struggle in Korea, and like that was the first image in everyone's mind. And I was shocked. It popped up on the screen the other day. I was watching a Padres game, and it's like he's batting .363. And I was like, wait, what?
Yeah. Yeah.
How did this happen?
Exactly. And it's kind of cushioned like the blow of trading away Soto and some of the other stuff that's happened with the Padres, that they're actually a pretty decent offensive team.
Yeah, it's just a matter of, is that bullpen going to be able to get to Robert Suarez? And that's probably going to be their issue all year.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the tricky part there. I didn't have a choice in getting Ellie De La Cruz. He went at 1.10 in mine. I think we are the early, at least, you know, for the Vegas mains, at least we are the early bit draft pick on Ellie. And turns out they're right so far. Dave Klum, a veteran NFBC player, went and grabbed him at that spot. Man, when he looks bad, he looks really bad. And so to my mind's eye, I'm thinking, oh man, he's struggling. Then I look up and he's hitting .277, seven bags, five homers, 11 and 16. I mean, he's doing everything so far.
Yeah, he's been a really great part of my OC Champions League qualifier team.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that team has Abrams too. So that one is off to a high-flying start. But yeah, it really just – he's going to do what he's going to do. He's going to bat .250, .240. Like, I would be stunned if he got the .270, but – the homers and bags are going to be there, and he puts his job security is great. Like he puts fans in the seats, so he's not going anywhere. So
for sure. And defensively, he makes a couple of mistakes, but he also makes a spectacular play too. We saw that running catch in Seattle this week. I don't know if you got a chance to see the ground.
That was absurd. I can't remember who it was on. It was on the rookie. I had him to steal a base at like 7-1 and he robbed them. And I was like, oh, come on. But it was such an absurd play. It was hard to be mad.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I've got Haniger in the main, so I hope it wasn't against him.
But... No, it was against Class A. It was against Class A.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
His first game up.
That's right. That's right. Well, Class A got his hit later on, so he's still fine. And it'll be interesting to see what he goes for this weekend.
There's going to be some interesting bids this weekend. Finally, some prospects are getting called up, so it's going to be interesting to see kind of how people react.
Yeah, let's jump on that real quick here. So we saw Jack Leiter go today. It was rough. In fact, I saw something from Action Sports, the Action Network, I should say, that the 4.5 over-under strikeout prop was the most bet prop they've seen so far this year, and he only got three because he only went 3 2/3, gave up six runs. He got a little unlucky because Taveras butchered a ball in the fourth inning, but even before that, he's giving up some hard contact.
The stuff looked okay, though. Like,
yeah,
it was bad from a stat line perspective, but I got to be honest, I wouldn't be too afraid to bid on him. Like, the price is now going to probably be right for him. If you have a bench spot to kind of just take a look and see what it looks like for the next week, I would probably be adding him, especially in something like a main event where any quality pitching is hard to come by.
Yeah, well, the real question is, and Tim asked it in the forum here, is Jack Leiter going to stay up? Because they got Max Scherzer coming back probably next week. Cody Bradford's eventually coming back. That gives them like eight starters, you know, assuming Heaney's still in there. Everybody just got pushed back a day. What do you think happens in that Texas rotation?
I just think Andrew Heaney is destined for the bullpen, whether it's today or tomorrow or next week.
I agree.
There's just too much talented starting pitching. And Michael Lorenzen will probably end up getting the same fate. I know he pitched well in Detroit, but the wind was blowing in. It was going to be pretty tough to not pitch well that day. So,
yeah,
I think he'll end up getting starts. You know, it's in like Scherzer, they'll probably want to give him extra rest, you know, in those big stints. So, like, I think he'll get starts, but it's definitely more of a stash than more of a I'm playing him every week right now.
Yeah, and I think that's a problem. And same holds true with my guy Cody Bradford, who looked great in his three starts, but what's he going to come back to here? And that's the thing I'm concerned about.
Yeah, it's really tough to hold him when you don't know the role, but he pitched so well, it's tough to drop in a main event. It's kind of a double-edged sword there.
It is, and you know we can't park a guy in the IL in the main event too, so that makes it really tricky. And every guy we do park on our reserve is opportunity cost of picking somebody else up that could be dynamic. And I think that's the tricky part, you know, whether it's Luis Robert or, you know, a couple of the other injured players right now, Royce Lewis, long-term injuries, but great players. Like, what do you do with those? Those are the toughest decisions I think that we have to make in season with the main event and any NFBC contest.
And it's always tough once you make the decision 3 weeks later, when you know you probably should just let it go.
Yeah.
You've held on to them for 3 weeks and it's like that cost has already been baked in, but you mentally are just like, well, I could have done this 3 weeks ago. I'm not going to do it now. And it's like, you should just probably if you need the roster spot, you need the roster spot.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And you can't take zeros. It's not only that too. It's even if you're not picking up a guy for the active spot, like picking up Ryan Stanek, like I did in a couple of leagues this past week, maybe he gets the saves, maybe he doesn't. But if he does, this past week was the week to pick him up, not next week when it gets to be more expensive and you've got confirmed that he's going to be the closer. Now, that's not the case. I'm just using that as a hypothetical because Scott Service is going to continue to do Scott Service things. But point is, you got to take those shots because if you keep waiting until you have confirmation, A, you're going to miss out more often than not, and B, you're going to have to pay a lot more when you do get that confirmation and he happens to be available.
Right, and you only have so much limited fab. You can't really be taking it all in big chunks. You just got to be able to have someone to make roster moves and kind of work that back into your roster.
Exactly. We're going to talk about a couple more guys at the shortstop position, but first, quick note from our sponsor, Vivid Seats. Finally, baseball is back. This MLB season, knock it out of the park with Vivid Seats and score great tickets to the biggest games of the year. Every fastball, every home run, and every eye-popping play of your favorite team. Live and in person. Plus, with Vivid Seat Rewards, you earn rewards with every single purchase. Just buy 10 tickets, then cash in your credit towards your free 11th ticket. Talk about an easy win. And here's a pro reward tip. Buy tickets for your whole group, split the bill after the fact, and make progress towards that free 11th ticket even faster. From behind the dugout to the upper deck, Vivid Seats has great tickets for all the 2024 games that matter to you. Just visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. See vividseats.com/rewards for terms and conditions. I'm Jeff Erickson. I'm here with CJ Kaltenbach. Siege, you've got your own venture going here on the sports gaming side of things. Why don't you tell everybody about it?
Yeah, I'm over on Dub Club right now. It's been fantastic. The integration and the tools are fantastic just to get information out so quickly. It gets sent to your phone, your Discord, wherever you want it, your email, so I can just do all my write-ups, do my plays, and it just gets to you instantaneously. There's no like waiting for a Patreon post or anything like that. So you can just go to dubclub.com and then type in the Siege and you'll find me.
Nice. Very good. I know you were on fire when we were in Vegas for the NCAA tournament. Yeah, that Saturday in particular, I think it was your big day. Or was it Friday? I forget.
Saturday, Friday. That 36 hours was just... It was awesome. And you've dropped in the main event too. And you're already just stressed out, but that was just, it was great to just see winners just coming through right when you're drafted in the main event. It's like, all right, I can breathe now.
Nice. Very nice. I love seeing that there. I also love seeing you and Draft Cheat together. And in the same league, and you guys were hanging out. We were hanging out the day before the big main event day. We were hanging out on Friday. There's a couple of mains going on, and you guys were betting on where players would go in the main event there. We were just sweating out from the side. I love seeing their 20s going back and forth.
That was a lot of fun. There were some very bad lines said.
Yes, of course. Mistakes were made.
Mistakes were definitely made, but yeah, it was a ton of fun. And yeah, it was nice. A great way to sweat the board, and you kind of were like, "Well, would I actually take that player over this player?" It kind of got your head kind of in the right mental frame.
Yeah, low key, good draft prep. I like it there. Absolutely. Good question from Jason Austin. And I know everybody's got questions, and we'll try to hit those at the end here. But when we're just talking about Fab, so I thought I'd go on here. Do you budget Fab? Do you want a certain amount on Memorial Day, All-Star break, etc.? And I think this is a really good question. Bears repeating almost all the time. What's your approach to your Fab budget?
I'm going to keep it small, try to just grind out the back end, and then make a couple big splashes to fill needs. That's kind of how I've historically done it. It works better for me. I'm not really kind of, when I start bidding $80, $70, that's when I make the big Fab mistakes, you know, where I bid 70 and the backup's three. And you're like, well, that was kind of stupid. So I'm kind of just I try to get the guys who don't have the hype, kind of nickel and dime the back end. But like when I really need to go make a splash, I'll go make a splash.
Yeah, we haven't made a splash yet in my main yet. Tim Schuler and I are running a team together, and we've been mostly playing small ball. We try to go for the flavor of the week, but it hasn't worked. It's not even at keep them honest level. We kind of know going in. I think last week we were a little disappointed we were so far off, but it happens. But we're still over 900 left on our budget. You got to remember, there's 25 weeks to the season. Often the Fabapalooza guys don't pay off. Every once in a while, they do. I mean, I think anybody that drafted Ellie last year, I mean, we went through a tough September, but I think we're still pretty happy with what we got out of Ellie if we picked him up in Fab. So I don't mind like the super high prospect. You just don't want to get caught up in like, well, Jack Leiter, for instance. I don't want to spend $300 on Jack Leiter. Now after this outing, I probably won't. Or Pajes or, Class A, those will be guys that are very interesting, but I don't think they're swing for the fences guys either.
Yeah, like I'm over 950 still. So like we've just been small balling it. Part of it was the way our roster was constructed. We knew the first 2 weeks we weren't going to have the bench flexibility that we probably should have had, but just the way the draft fell, we were just like, you know what, we're just going to hang tight for a couple weeks, get Sonny Gray back, get Jordan Montgomery back, and then we'll have a great rotation. But and then we'll kind of be able to work the bench, but which has kind of worked out fine because there really hasn't been anything super special coming through yet on the hitting side, which is probably where we'll need to help the most.
Right. Well, so and we're the opposite. I feel pretty good about our hitting. Helps when you get a late Jordan Westberg and Colton Cowser. So Cowser in particular is like everybody.
Really nice job target. Not cutting him. He was such like he was. I'm sure it was pretty tempting to try to cut him. At least once during those bad periods.
That first week, maybe when he wasn't playing much, but yeah, I mean, when Hayes got off to a terrible start, that helped. But then you look down at Norfolk and they're scoring 20 runs a game and you're like, oh boy, you know, when are they going to call up some of these guys? And they called up Holiday, but they haven't called up Kierstad yet. They haven't called up Kobe Mayo or Stowers or anything like that. They got so many hitters in that system. It's crazy.
Yeah, I love Westberg. One of the guys was kicking myself. I just didn't end up on my main event team. But, I have him a lot of places, especially cut line. He was second base, third base, so he was always a target. And he's been crushing the ball. It's just like, you should have just trusted the talent. But that's probably the only team in the league where you can just be like, well, you can have a lot of talent and it doesn't matter because they have plenty of guys with a lot of talent.
Yeah, they got guys coming out of their ears. I mean, we said that with the Reds hitters and Marlins pitchers, but they both teams decided to say, okay, we'll test that right now. Let's find out. And with the injuries and all that, how that goes. But we'll see. When Mayo comes up, he's going to draw a ton of Fab. I just know it. And he will come up at some point in time. And it's just a question of how they make it all work. That's the crazy part. I still think a trade's got to come at some way, shape, or form because 3, 4, and 5 in the rotation are very sketch.
Even 2 isn't the – I'm feeling great about 2. You know, yeah. Unless, I mean, Bradish, I guess, will be fine if he can stay healthy. But yeah, you just got to imagine they're going to make another.
Well, Burns and Grayson are great. I have no, so for me, it starts at three. I mean, I'm fine.
That's with Grayson. True. Grayson, yeah, I'm just not the Grayson guy. He's been great. I just, he just gives up a couple too many homers for my taste, but I get it.
Yeah, I get it too. Gunnar Henderson, is he going the first round next year?
Boy, that, remember what I said earlier? There's a player that I should have been in on with the same process as CJ Abrams. It was Gunnar Henderson, like the second year leap guy. I just kind of was like, oh, he was so good right away. He's not going to take another level right away. And it should have been like, no, how about you just, that was his first taste of major league pitching and now he could just do a lot better.
Yep.
Yeah, really kicking myself because I don't have any Gunnar anywhere, I don't think. He's been awesome. And it's just, you know, it's for real. And you're just, there's nothing you can do about it except maybe join a May draft.
Yeah, that could be it. And, you know, the thing is, Scott Pianowski is telling us we're going to get Yahoo friends and family going at some point. So we will get that FOMO draft and maybe I'll get Gunnar instead of Lindor there. I mean, that's the thing. That's every day I see Abrams or Gunnar doing something and I'm sitting there watching my Lindor share. It's just killing me. I went Lindor, Alonso. You went CJ Abrams and Rafael Devers. And Rafael Devers is someone that's been uber frustrating, especially because of the day-to-day nature of that there.
I really kind of wish the team had just given him 10 days. Now, in the meantime, he's already taken out Tyler O'Neill to boot with him. So, if the knee is balking, just give it 10 days. They have two off days. Just, it's eight games. Just, but I have a feeling they're just going to try to use those off days and manage them. And I really just wish they just gave him 10 days to get right. But I don't think that's going to happen, unfortunately.
Do you have O'Neill too? In your main?
No. I forgot the cardinal rule of the Cardinals outfielders, which is when you leave the Cardinals, you become the best version of yourself no matter what.
The cardinal rule. I like that there. There's the cardinal way. Now there's the cardinal rule. I am with you. I'm kicking myself on that one there, Siege, because it was such an obvious play. He's in the 200s. You know, this is a guy we're drafting in the third or fourth round in two years ago and maybe fifth round last year. Had injuries, but just getting away, change of scenery alone, and then in Fenway to boot. I mean, that should have been an obvious play. I mean, I was worried
about playing time. Like, I got that one wrong. Like, I was right that Raffaello was going to play every day in center. Like, that part of the process was right. I just didn't realize how much Tyler O'Neill was just going to play anyways. But now I'm worried, like, if he comes back and struggles, like, all those fears I had in the offseason could become a thing. Because Rafael is batting 140, but he's got the contract and he plays elite defense. He's not going anywhere. I mean, maybe like a 2-week reset at AAA, but I don't even think that's happening. So,
right. Yeah. It was interesting to see him give the contract after the season started and with him not hitting well. You know, usually you get that contract when you're trying to make sure the guy, you know, if you want, it's in spring training, you're trying to induce him to sign so he makes the team, that sort of thing. And sometimes those contracts blow up in your face. I mean, we all remember Jonathan Singleton's illustrious career. You know,
what was the Phillies one?
That's exactly who I was thinking.
Scott Kingery.
No, it's not Moniak either. It's
Scott Kingery.
It is Kingery. You're right. It is Kingery. Yeah. And sometimes they blow up in your face. But then again, it costs the team almost nothing to give those deals. It's something, but you know,
I strike out three times on those, but if the fourth one works, like it's still a net plus EV. Picture.
Yeah. Yeah. When like the Rays signing Evan Longoria like that, that's a huge hit for them. The Braves and all the contracts that they've done. And sometimes those have been after they've been called up, but Acuna and Albies, I mean, everybody was first guessing the Albies contract there and saying, hey, he signed a terrible deal. But then again, we all know like it's one of those things. Oh, hey, you should have turned down eight figures. You know, it's like, okay, well, that's easy for us to say sitting in our chair here where
right,
we don't
I'm sure
have
he's
that decision.
Enjoy the 80 million in his bank account. Like,
yeah, exactly. Poor me. Yeah. But yes, he did give up value. That part is absolutely true, but Scott Kingery exists. It does happen, you know? And so that's all true. For the Red Sox though, with Devers, you know, it's there's the shoulder first too. And I'm worried about that. It sounded ominous saying that he's going to be dealing with that all season. I'd rather rest the knee and the shoulder all at once. Give him a fighting chance to be healthy for the rest of the season.
The shoulder looked pretty good when he came back. The at-bats looked pretty good. He was driving the ball again. So I actually wasn't too concerned about the shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it could just be any one swing now, right? But
Yep.
Yeah, I kind of wish they just give him 10 days. I don't think it's happening, though. So I'm just, it's kind of being one of those things you're going to have to manage. You're going to have a third baseman on your bench and kind of have to deal with the, oh, he's sitting out game one. What are you going to do for 2 days? Which is just not really what you want to deal with your second round pick. You kind of just want to be set and forget him.
Exactly. Let's look at the Red Sox pitchers real quick there. A lot of big talk in the offseason about, you know, Andrew Bailey and then that first 10-game stretch on the road where they had great setups there. Good results early on and still even this week in the case of Tanner Houck. But are you buying this renaissance, you know, fewer fastballs, more breaking pitches? Is this sustainable now that they have two starters hurt?
I think it's sustainable. I am just very bullish on anyone who's in that rotation at this point. I mean, yep. Ryan Baio has been very unlucky, but he'll be fine too. If you're in that rotation, I'm just going to be interested. Andrew Bailey's been fantastic.
Yep.
And when four guys just get instantly better and they're doing all the same thing, it's hard to not say it's not the system.
Yeah. It's a shame about Pivetta. Cause I thought, you know, he was that canary in the coal mine last year, that second half last year, that kind of pointed the way. And Cutter Crawford's K to minus walk percentage hinted that he had that upside too. I have Houck, you have Bello and Bayo and the main, our respective mains. So we both jumped on that a little bit there too. I'd like to have more of that. I do think it's for real. I do worry if like maybe that it could cause a chance for more injuries, but then again, Garrett Whitlock's never exactly been an Iron Man to begin with there. So the fact that he hurt his oblique, it may not have had anything to do with the change in the pitch mix.
Yeah, I honestly just really worry about the curveball with these guys.
Yeah.
Like if you don't have a curveball, I'm not super concerned. I don't think it's very predictable. Let me just say that. It's the heavy curveball guys that I think have dealt with the, call it the pitch clock, call it the big offseason programs, whatever you want to call it. I think it's the curveball that's caused that issue and the stress. So I've kind of avoided curveballs in my staff. But I would have taken Pivetta if he had followed me one more spot. So definitely a bullet dodged, although I took Jordan Walker. So maybe not.
Yeah. Still the verdict's early on Walker, but yeah, it's frustrating. It's frustrating seeing your hitters get off to tough starts. I'm looking at your roster now and you got a handful of guys that are slow starters, but like, are you really worried that much that Mitch Garver is not going to turn around? I'm not.
No, I'm not either. That home run he hit yesterday was a bomb. Like,
yes, it was.
That was the, okay, you're going to be fine moment for me.
Yeah. You ask for miracles. I give you the Reds pitching staff. I do think he's going to be fine as far as that goes. All right. Before we move on to other topics, a quick note from On Demand DFS. Do you ever think back to the golden days of fantasy football? You know, when it was all about the love of the game, the camaraderie, and yes, the bragging rights. Well, our friends at On Demand DFS are bringing those days back with their revolutionary app that's changing the game for fantasy fans everywhere. Gone are the days of confusing entry fees, playing against unknown masses, or juggling multiple apps to trash talk with your league mates. On Demand DFS is here to streamline your fantasy football experience, making it more about strategy, fun, and most importantly, the community. With On Demand DFS, you can create a contest in seconds. Invite your friends and you're off to the races. No entry fees, no gimmicks, just pure fantasy football bliss. And here's the kicker. You're not limited to current season players. Imagine crafting your dream lineup from over 5,000 NFL legends and today's stars using real historical data to simulate the action. And for those who hate the wait, you'll love Turbo Mode. Contests wrap up in minutes, not hours, keeping the excitement going all week long. Download the On Demand DFS app now and get started with a 30-day free trial. Dive into a fantasy football experience that's rich in history, strategy, and most importantly, fun. It's time to create your legacy with the ultimate lineup of legends and live out your fantasy football dreams like never before. That's On Demand DFS. Also, we're on the Blue Wire Network. Here are their ads.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/BlueWire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
All right. I'm here with the Siege, CJ Kaltenbach, and we are talking all things baseball. Hey, you are all over Jared Jones. You got him in your main. He had maybe the most dominant performance of the season, albeit cut way short this week against the Mets. Five innings, 59 pitches, 50 strikes in that. 50 strikes. It's just crazy. But then they shut him down after that there, and they decided kind of like they have a season-long innings limit on him, and that's pretty frustrating.
You know what? I'm okay with that. That's way better than when they stop a guy and then start a guy
right
back up. That just never seems to work. If this is the plan that every fifth start, you know, they're going to go 60, 65 pitches on him. Okay. You know what? Fine. It's much better than the alternatives. Works for me.
Yeah. And I'm with you on that. It's not the Marlins who are just, there's evil and cynical and stupid all at the same time.
Right, but exactly. I don't need Max. I don't need to get Max Meyer or something.
because it worked so well with Yuri Perez last year. You know, they really protected him. I think the true thing is, I mean, baseball hasn't figured out a way to protect the pitcher. We there's countless theories, treatises, stories, articles, methods. None of them work as long as the pitcher's throwing harder. I don't think there's a way to get around that, unfortunately.
Yeah, I just think if you keep someone in a routine over, like, that's the best way. Like, if you do something over and over, it's consistent. Mm-hmm. That's the best way to do it. So, like, if it means that they want to just keep Jared Jones down a couple starts, okay. Like, I just think that's the best option. So, and it looks like that's what Pittsburgh's going to do. So, works for me.
Yeah, I can get behind it there. They got Paul Skeens coming up. The only thing that bothers me a little bit is something like my friend Tim Benz, who's a radio host in Pittsburgh. I do his show every week saying somebody's got to throw those innings. And those innings are just as important unless the team is kind of just saying the implication is this year doesn't matter. Which I kind of feel is the case a little bit. They're going to eventually call up Skeens. They're going to have Jones and Skeens and then ... you know, and that's the problem is, you know, they just don't have enough inventory there.
Yeah, I absolutely. But end of the day, like, you got to develop the young guys, and you know, not every team's going to win every season, right? So
yeah,
it's frustrating for sure. They had that hot start. They've cooled off a little bit back to earth. You know, this is going to be a development year. You know, you'll get Jared Jones probably the whole year, probably 150, 170 innings. And then you'll probably get Skeens for 80 to 100.
Yep.
You get to watch this year. So,
right,
you know, that's at least you're not the A's. You actually have something interesting to go watch. Or, to be fair to the A's, it's probably the White Sox that have nothing to go watch.
Oh my gosh, the White Sox! I mean, the Reds play them over the weekend, so I got a good look at them there. And you know, Eloy was out; he's back now, at least ish. But no Luis Robert. It's tough. It's a really tough look. And meanwhile, you got an owner in Jerry Reinsdorf, who's always been one of the hardliners, one of the evil lords of baseball, you know, ever since the Lords of Baseball. If you read Lords of the Realm, Jerry Reinsdorf is in there. I mean, he's been evil for a long time. He's now trying to, you know, politicize for another $1 billion stadium in downtown Chicago. is he's definitely earned that trust.
Oh yeah. I mean, with the Bulls and the White Sox, I mean, how could you say no?
Yeah. I mean, and just that stewardship of him just thinking about the community first and not his profit line. No, not at all. Oh God, I'm sorry. It's part of me getting cynical again. We'll move on. But Jared Jones, he's very good at baseball. I wish I had more of them. I only have them in mixed labor, which we drafted in February, and I got him at the first fab period. So that's the only league I have him. I don't have him in any NFBC platform leagues, and that bothers me quite a bit.
This is actually my only Jared Jones share. Like, I watched the start. I was just afraid he wasn't going to make the team. And then I watched, it was actually the day of the main event. I was on the Uber on the way over to the hotel, and I was watching him just mow down the Red Sox. And I was just like, there's just no way he's starting in the minors. I'm just going to move him up.
Nice. Nice.
Yeah. And then DC got very angry when I took him, which made it all the sweeter.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. It's like when I snipe, well, Liz was online, so I didn't get to really, we didn't get to snipe with each other during the draft, unfortunately, there. But yeah, him and I being in the same league is pretty awesome. You and DC being in the same league is pretty awesome.
Yeah. He just audibly was just like, I hate you. And I was just like, felt great.
There we go. That just makes your day. It really does. Well, we both drafted from the first spot in the NFBC, and we had similar background. I mean, similar builds. The difference is you went double closer at 4-5. I went closer hitter. Had to have Manny Machado because he fell to 5-1. I thought that was value. Turns out that was ADP. I thought at the time it was crazy value. It turns out it was about where he was going. And we both waited to the sixth round to get our first starter. It's funny though. Like I'm like every week I'm really focusing on the pitching on the waiver wire. You're more focusing on the hitting though.
Yeah. We just hit on our pitchers, you know, Jared Jones and Brady Singer late have been fantastic for us. So what was already going to be a strong rotation once people got healthy and got back has just been, it's honestly fantastic. I mean, knock on wood, but we don't have the issue of who we're going to start. It's like, you know, like this week we benched Pyams because we weren't quite sure if he was going to get the saves again. And now that we know he's probably the closer in Milwaukee moving forward, we're going to have an even harder decision. We want three closers. We want two. Right. Who are we going to bench? It's a great problem to have. But with the hitting, it's the exact opposite. You know, if you're talented, we want you.
Yes. See that. And we're kind of the opposite there. Like we're shuttling around. Like we finally benched Jose Abreu and probably a step to cutting him. Stanton wasn't in the lineup Monday, so we benched him for the half week. We'll probably get him back in there, but I mean, we're pretty good. We go two hitters on our bench and five pitchers. And I tried to make sure that Shue didn't cut Matt Waldron when he had like a bad start against the Dodgers. Like, just park him. We'll wait. Cause pitching is what we need for sure. I mean, we lost Justin Steele on opening day. We lost, we have Nathan Eovaldi on our bench this week because he's got a bad start against the Braves. Tanner Bibee has been a massive disappointment. So we're just kind of hustling to try to find the pitching. We're doing all right doing so, but that's going to be our primary focus all year.
Yeah, I mean, we just whiffed on outfielders outside of Acuna so far. I mean, Jordan Walker has been awful. Yeah, Chris Bryant was worse.
Oh, Chris Bryant. Oh, yeah, yeah.
I was going to be hold firm on not cutting him, but now he's on the IL. Like, I don't really have a choice. It's just, I feel so bad just losing the whole summer at Coors, but there's not much you can do when he's on the injured list. You really can't keep him. But, you know, at least Josh Lowe is on a rehab assignment. That will help. But, you know, it's just out. We have like basically one outfielder we feel great about, which is just a tough place to start.
It is. It is. We did okay on outfielders. We got a late Haniger. We got Kowser, obviously, that worked out. And the big one for us was Taylor Ward. Getting Taylor Ward as a relatively late post-type guy, not post-type, but a last year's bum type. I think I got him in the 14th round, 13th, 14th area. That worked out pretty well.
Yeah, he was a target. We were looking hopefully to get him at the end of the 14th, but Jenny Butler was not going to let us have that value, which turned out to be a common theme in the even rounds.
Yeah. Jenny Butler is good at not letting people have value. She's good at fantasy baseball there.
Yeah. It was nice that she was a few picks ahead of me so I could just regroup, but it was consistent. It was just like, oh, I have this guy on my list. Will he make it? No, he won't.
Yeah. Exactly. Dave McDonald's in the chat. He's in our league. You know, he's another NFBC veteran. That league was tough, but everybody's Vegas main is super tough. I know that. But I get that there, but it's crazy. Japinka's in mine, or I'm in his, let's call it what it is. I mean, I'm in his until I actually win something. We got two main event overall champs in my league. So it's tough. Plus Liss is in that league. Dave Klum, who I mentioned, it's just a tough league all around.
Main events are hard. They're all hard. Yes. It's going to be, it doesn't get any easier. So you just got to buckle up, and they're just a different beast. They're harder to describe. Like what you think, you know, going in, you will not know by round 10.
Yeah. Exactly right. Well, we're going to get to people's questions momentarily. I know some people are asking about it. Don't worry. You don't have to repeat it. We'll plow through them in a minute. Just want to talk about a couple other guys before we get to that there, but a couple of injury notes that we want to cover real quick. Yu Darvish on the IL with a neck injury, and these injuries seem to be cropping up a little bit quicker, more often for him.
Yeah. That's kind of what happens when you get old, right? Backs, yeah. And shoulders and necks. And next thing you know, you know, you're only pitching 100 innings. I think that was kind of the whole reason Yu Darvish went as late as he did, was because you kind of knew this was coming.
Yeah, unfortunately. I think I had like one early league where I got him what I thought was at late price, and that turns out that was the price, and okay, moved on. Chris Bryant, you alluded to him. You're suffering through that right now. We haven't had like a warm Coors Field series yet, but of course he's going to miss this first one here this weekend against Seattle. It's been tough watching it. Even like when they go on the road, like they go to Chicago and it's miserable weather there. Point is, I think I'm willing to give a little bit of grace for some of these Rockies hitters, but it's been a tough watch.
Yeah. As you said that, I was like, I'm going to get rid of him. And then I thought about it more. I was like, God, he was just starting to turn. The light bulb was just starting to turn in that Toronto series when he got hurt.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of hoping that means that they won't put him in the outfield as much, and they'll give him some more DH and first base reps when he gets back.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm gonna try to maneuver the roster to hold on to him. I need the power, and he's gonna be a power source in Coors. I think I'm gonna have to find a way to hold him.
Exactly.
I don't know how, but we're gonna figure it out.
But first outfield eligibility helps too. I mean, it gives you a chance to do that.
And we need first baseman. So yeah, I can't let Chris Bryant go.
Yeah. Justin Verlander makes his return on Friday. That is tomorrow. Any interest?
It's going to be interesting to see what he's got in the tank. I mean, he just was always going way too early for my taste. Like, he was going before guys like Mackenzie Gore and, you know, Jack Flaherty and other guys I just was way more interested in than him. I just not sure how much he's got left in the tank, but he could get you 100 good innings. I just, in a main event type, it felt like the bench spot was just tough for him. I just couldn't justify it.
Yeah, I hear you on that. I didn't like how he finished the year last year. I got Verlander in a draft I did in November, and I think he was a keeper. XFL, the one we do at First Pitch Arizona. I think that's the only place I got Verlander this year.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to be fun to watch. When he pitches great, he'll be great. I just don't know what the other starts will be.
Yeah, I'm definitely not going to go out of my way to get him, that's for sure. I won't trade for him in leagues that have trades. Certainly he's not available as a free agent anywhere, so it's kind of like a moot point if you don't already have him. Let's talk a little Mike Trout. Already 5 stolen bases, Siege. This is the thing. He actually said he wanted to get 30, and we all kind of just blew it off. He's had 8 homers and 5 stolen bases. He's not striking out. He struck out a ton in spring training. We're like, oh, he's washed. He's terrible. Maybe he's not. Maybe he's vintage Trout again.
Yeah, a guy that I was cold on early, warmed up too late, and I was kind of hoping would just fall in my main to that 6-7 turn. Mm-hmm. He did in a few, just not mine, unfortunately. I didn't really think the stolen bases were going to be there, but I kind of thought that he would get more DH work than he's gotten. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't as worried about the health with him. With Ohtani gone, I kind of thought they would give him more DH run instead of Miguel Sano. So right. I wasn't too worried about the injury risk. I think that would be my biggest concern is he's playing every day in center. He's running all the time. Like, is he going to hold up? But for now, it's fantastic.
Yeah. I love how I was like all over Ron Washington's. They'd have him run more. And I wasn't thinking about Trout. I was thinking about Zach freaking Neto. And you know, thinking that's going to be the guy that's going to benefit from all that. At least Ward is running and I have him. So that's good.
Yeah. I just don't have any Angels anywhere. And they look like they're at least playing as they got that team that had the energy. You know, there's that team that overperforms.
Mm-hmm.
They just have energy and vibes. That's the Angels right now. They have all the vibes.
We have seen this before, though. Angels got off to a good start last year, and then they came crashing down. So new management, obviously, new manager, I should say. So maybe things will be a little different. But yeah, so far they're cromulent, and that's all you can ask. Let's do some Q&A. Lots of people asking questions beforehand. Let's jump into it here. Go all the way at the beginning here. Matthew asked, do you trade O'Neill Cruz for Francisco Lindor? 10-man, 6x6 redraft there. So that, you know, that's a good indicator of like where Lindor is at. You know, O'Neill Cruz was this guy everybody's excited to get, and they've been kind of left wanting. Francisco Lindor is someone you took and like, okay, I got an elite player. Neither event lived up to it so far. What say you?
I think I would hold on to Lindor there.
Yeah.
I just the park in Pittsburgh isn't great. What are they going to do in September when they're out of it? Mm-hmm. He is coming off of that serious injury. I think I would hold on to Lindor.
So if you're on the other side of the equation, would you trade for Lindor? Or is this a no action?
I think it's probably no action. But I couldn't hate the O'Neill Cruz owner if they went and got Lindor for him. Like, I understand that. It probably just depends on what you need.
I think that is a good definition of buying low on Lindor, though. I think that fits. Dave White asks, Max Fried or Kevin Gausman?
Gausman, he looks every bit of the superstar that he is.
Last outing he did. His velocity was down early, but I think he's back now. I think you're right about that.
I think that's going to be a case for a lot of guys. Like, the guys are just working their way in. We're going to see it with Jordan Montgomery in a couple of days. I already know it. People are like, oh, his velocity's down. It's like, okay, we've seen this story 15 times already this year. Let's calm down.
Did the Giants bring Snell back too quickly?
Maybe. But
I think they might have too.
I'm not sure what rehab starts would have done for Snell. He's kind of just one of those competitive guys. I'm not sure it would have solved this problem. I just think this was inevitable.
Yeah, could be going through his dead arm period, blah, 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 all that goes. I think you go trade for Snell right now, by the way. Cody McAllister says, should I be patient with Torkelson or drop him for Cronenworth?
I'd be patient. The weather in Detroit has been so terrible. You just can't really count on any of that data to be useful moving forward.
I agree. Oops says, Encarnacion Strand, worried or not?
Worried, I wouldn't act on it yet.
Yeah. I agree as the Reds fan here. He was pressing a little bit. He had a reasonably decent road trip. I think he's starting to break out of it. And again, the Reds have not had a warm weather homestand yet. These things are going to get better. We were talking about Blake Snell earlier. Hold Snell or try to buy low on Fried? I mean, these are guys that are going around the same level to begin with there. Who would you rather have the rest of the way?
Snell.
Okay, snap call. I like it.
I trust his health more than Fried.
Okay, I like it there. All right, very good. Let's hit up a few more questions before we get out of here because there's just a lot of them. And if we didn't get them all, we apologize for that. But we'll get a few of these here in before we go. Let us hit this one here. This is just your reaction. This is a trade. What do you think? Unknown screwdriver says traded Kyle Tucker for Cole Reagans and Mitch Keller. I don't think I like this one. What say you?
No, I'm a big Kyle Tucker fan. That feels like not enough for me.
Yeah. I kind of agree on that. Couple more before we get out of here. It's just so many and separating the comments from the questions. So I apologize if it takes a second here to get some of these, get these out here. But here we go. We did that. Here we go. Ahmed Rosario or Nolan, Sal Frelick or Nolan Gorman? You're a Cardinals guy. What do you think about Nolan Gorman there?
I think he's got more upside than Sal Frelick.
Yeah. I call you a Cardinals guy. You're a Red Sox guy, but you're also kind of a Cardinals guy to me.
Yeah, they kind of get the background TV, so I end up watching more of their games.
Yep.
Than they should. That bottom of the lineup is just so bad right now. It's hard to play with.
It is.
The Dodgers are having that problem too. Like, there's some good teams that like bottom of the lineups are just terrible. Houston, yeah. Dodgers, Cardinals. Like, I wonder how long these teams are just going to put up with this before.
Well, we saw the Dodgers. They called up Pajes. I mean, there's a reason they called him up. They're done with the Chris Taylor strikeout experience.
He looks absolutely clueless against right-handed pitching, though. I know it's a small sample size, but
yeah.
I mean, I'm looking for any outfield help I can find. So, like, I've watched every at-bat, and the book on him is clearly out, and he has not adjusted yet.
No.
We'll see what happens this weekend, but high fastballs and him are a great strikeout combination at the moment.
Yeah, it could be. So do you prefer Jonathan Clase over Pajes?
I need the power. So like if I was going after one, it would be Pajes. But I would have to see something this weekend to really I was extremely excited when he got called up. I was like, this is what I need. This is great.
Right.
I have just the book on him for, with the righties so far seems pretty clear.
Yeah, I think you're probably right about that. And maybe
it's always scary when they have the book right away and he and there's just no. It's only been two games. Like, I don't want to panic, but there's been no take. It's been the same strikeout like four times.
Yeah, and it's part of the reason why Jake Irvin went through this lineup. I was amazed at that outing, by the way, that because the Dodgers are a machine. They just had a bad day.
They really aren't, though. Like, they've got four hitters, and that's it. Four and a half. And the bottom is just, like, when Chris Taylor strikes out three times and Kike strikes out twice, like, you just can't get anything going.
Yeah, and Kike in center field is something we don't really need to see anymore either, by the way. So, and I know that he was like the right-handed option in center field because they didn't want to expose Outman as much to lefties. But at some point, you got to just, you know.
I mean, you didn't want to expose him to Patrick Corbin, then that means you're never exposing him to
lefties. Well, right. Good point. Good point. The three and a third innings of Patrick Corbin because it still didn't matter. But, I mean, you go the top six. When Muncy and Teoscar are doing anything decent at all, you got a good top six. It's just those bottom three.
Yeah, just Teoscar has a lot of strikeout in him too, so he's a hot cold guy to begin with.
Yeah.
Muncy's all right, but he's too, like, there's just a lot of strikeouts in that 5-6, and then the bottom is just, you know, nothing.
Yep. Very good. All right, that's going to wrap up today's show. Good stuff here, guys, and tons of comments in there. And if we didn't get your question, apologize about that. But hit us up on Twitter. You can always reach us there. You can always use our Ask an Expert service. Siege is always available to you too on Twitter and. Check out his new venture also. Again, tell everybody where they can find you.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at the Siege DFS, S-E-I-G-E, because I can't spell. And then you can find me over on Dub Club. Just type in the Siege DFS, and you'll find me there. Everything, I bets, DFS, seasonal talk, just, you know, 24/7 sports. That's my life.
Very good. It's a good life. It's a real good life.
It is a great
life.
No complaints. I enjoy every moment.
Good luck on the dart circuit, too, while we're at it.
Yeah, thank you. Have actually an all-star tournament this weekend, so hopefully that goes well.
Awesome. I like it a lot. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. We got Clay and Todd tomorrow with two-star starters. Thanks for listening. Take care.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.